Competitive yoga sounds like an oxymoron along the lines of jumbo shrimp or virtual reality. But it is a real thing, and it is intensely competitive. So how does one train to be aggressive in a practice that is typically meant to encourage relaxation and discourage judgment for one's own limits or progress? NHBR's Emily Corwin brings us a story of a Seacoast yoga practitioner heading to the national championships.
Emily Avery is ambitious. She's a first-year student at Princeton, a pre-professional ballerina, and she wants to be a neurosurgeon. Avery is also very flexible.
You bend your elbows down below your calf muscle and tuck your chin into your chest and put your forehead onto your knee. So
Avery contorts her body into standing head to knee. It's one of seven postures she and about 200 other competitors will perform before a panel of judges at the upcoming National Yoga Championships. Last year, Avery won first place in the youth division. This year, she'll compete as an adult.
It's based on alignment and grace and no reversal of movement or shaking.
Avery's been practicing yoga for 4 years at a Bikram studio in Portsmouth, but she doesn't have a studio nearby at Princeton. So as she prepares for her big competition, Avery relies on her coach, Sarah Curry, back home.
And I also film myself doing my routine wherever, like at a random studio or in my room or something, and then I'll send it to her, and then she'll email me back with corrections.
LA-based USA Yoga started the championships in 2003. Board member and judge Cynthia Ware says it's about celebrating yoga and bringing more people into the practice.
We want to take what already exists and bring it more to the masses.
But the idea of competitive yoga doesn't sit well with everyone. Ware says it perplexes people. It seems counterintuitive.
How can it be? That's so un-yogic. That just never exists. And it's like, no, you know.
So how flexible is the definition of the word yoga? It depends what kind of yoga studio you're standing in.
Abdominal wall, compression abdominal cavity, created through contraction until ribcage visible front mirror.
The origins of competitive yoga in America start here, in a 105-degree yoga studio. Most competitors, like Emily Avery, study Bikram yoga. USA Yoga is trying to recruit competitors in other styles. But selling the idea of competitive yoga to non-Bikram teachers can prove difficult.
Skeletal body to sit up tall.
Dina Alessio teaches Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga in Portsmouth. She says she has nothing against competitive yoga. It's just not what her classes are about.
We have something called drishti, which is like your gaze, and you should keep it soft so you're not comparing to the person next to you. And you're not even supposed to be comparing to what it was for you yesterday. Like, you don't want to be judging yourself every time you get on the mat either.
Alessio says breath and energy are the fundamentals of the yoga tradition, and she's not sure how they could figure into a competition. But USA Yoga's Cynthia Ware says competitive yoga is based on the yoga tradition. It's possible, she says, to judge breath and energy by observing competitors' bodies and eyes. And she says it's not like yoga competitions are some kind of American construct.
And this is something that is actually already exists in India.
University of Pittsburgh anthropologist Joseph Alter says yes. Yoga competitions began popping up in India in the 1930s and got popular in the 1950s. But that was after about 2,000 years of non-competitive practice. Alter says Indians also disagree about whether or not traditional yoga can be competitive. As far as he's concerned, though, judging and choosing a champion severs the sport from its traditional past.
The fundamental ideas that underlie yoga in practice are antithetical to competition.
Alter has never been to a yoga competition, although he says he finds the prospect fascinating. And 19-year-old competitor Emily Avery says when you get there, you realize it's not like other sports.
The competitors are not cutthroat like. Yeah, it's more about demonstrating what you can do with your body right now.
But Avery says she is a little nervous.
I definitely want to do well, and yeah, I don't want to let myself down, I guess.
Avery will compete at the national competition on March 14th in San Antonio. For Word of Mouth, I'm Emily Corwin.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you do like what you heard, there is so much more to hear and to see on our website, including a delightful conversation with Justice Sonia Sotomayor when she revealed that she loves bike riding, is a poker enthusiast, and is open to meeting somebody special. We found her to be a terrific date and think she's quite the catch. So we created a dating profile and a video for her. You can watch the video and listen to the full interview at wordofmouthradio.org and spread it around. Who knows where it could go? You can also follow us, send us your feedback, or share your ideas for the program on Facebook and on Twitter. After all, the most fascinating stories tend to travel by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio and online anytime at wordofmouthradio.org.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Zach Nugent,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its board of trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcasts and listen to past shows,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio,
follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth,
and check out a playlist of music from the program on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.